we made it.
It's officially spring. The vernal equinox came and went quietly early yesterday on a clear blue Sunday here in mid-Michigan. 50 years ago, the first day of spring was not so quiet in Michigan. On March 20th, 1966, dozens of people claimed to have spotted a UFO hovering over the Ann Arbor area. The next day, a similar report came out of Hillsdale. The rash of sightings made national news and even caught the attention of veteran newsman Walter Cronkite.
The great flying saucer mystery of 1966 began here, near Dexter, Michigan, late in March. And before the month was out, flying saucers were being reported from New Jersey to California, from Colorado to Long Island, from Ohio to Georgia.
So what was the thing that people saw near Dexter, Michigan in 1966? Current State's Kevin Lavery joins me now with more on this amazing piece of Michigan folklore. What'd you uncover, Kevin?
Mark, nothing that has not already turned up in the last 50 years, I'm afraid. But the Michigan UFO incidents still captivate the imagination to this day. So over the weekend, I went down to Ann Arbor to at least try to unearth this quite unearthly story.
...1966, the dawn of psychedelia. Artwork was exploding in swirly bright colors, and pop music echoed with the anthems of counterculture rebellion. March 20th of that year was the spring equinox. Earth's tilt was in even alignment with the sun, which glided smoothly from east to west right along the equator. But on that day, dozens of people in southern Michigan saw something else in the sky after the sun had gone down. The sighting happened near Dexter, a quiet village northwest of Ann Arbor.
The call came into the Washtenaw County Sheriff around 8:30 that evening.
Dr. Harry Wilness is a ufologist and the former director of the Michigan UFO Network. He's been studying alleged UFO sightings for most of his life. I caught up with Dr. Wilness in Ann Arbor at a conference marking 50 years since the Dexter incident. The man who called the police back in 1966 was Frank Manor, a local farmer.
What was his explanation at the time?
Frank actually didn't know. He was out trying to calm down his dogs, which were barking, and they're usually pretty quiet. And as he turned to go back to the front porch, he saw an object coming from the north, and he thought it was a falling star.
Looked like a falling star, Peter. It was red and kind of coming down and on about a 45. And so then I watched it, and I was going to see if it landed and then maybe go down and see what it was. And when it got to the top of the trees, it stopped, and a blue and a white light come on it. And I looked at it, and I thought I was seeing things.
He mentioned he thought it was kind of sputtering, like as if the object was having trouble getting off the ground or maintaining its being in the air.
Was he mainly seeing colored lights, or could he actually see some sort of a shape?
He described a football-shaped object about the size maybe of a small car. He mentioned a mist which seemed to hang from the bottom or the bottom area, which is commonly reported in UFO sightings. And I have the Washtenaw County Sheriff's police report from that night, and he described to them this object with lights on the end, blue, green, white, and the object, the colors would oftentimes change to different colors. And this thing was on the ground or possibly near the ground. There were police officers, 12 officers, 3 detectives, officers from Dexter also, and a group of townies, which were around and watching this thing come and go for some hours.
About 4 hours. But that wasn't the end of Michigan's close encounter. The very next night, witnesses in Hillsdale reported eerie glowing lights that descended near the women's dormitory at the college. The proximity of the two events, both in time and distance, was hard for anyone to ignore.
I think what made these cases unique was their relation to each other in time, one day after another, and the huge number of witnesses involved.
Historian Will Matthews admits he's not into paranormal research, but he says he loves a good story, especially when the evidence is compelling enough to give him pause.
I mean, we're talking anywhere from, 50 to 100 in Dexter, and close to that number in Hillsdale. And so that caught people's attention. Also, what happened in Dexter was it was billed as a landing, as opposed to something high in the sky. This thing was, even the headlines in the newspaper said, flying saucer lands in Washtenaw County. So that brought the attention to it.
It was a light coming down from the sky.
But was it really a landing, or even an alien visit at all? The United States Air Force was unequivocal. No. Leading the government's official probe into the Dexter sighting was J. Allen Hynek, an astronomer called in to refute the testimony of the locals. Again, Harry Wilness.
They needed someone like him to say, here's what you probably saw that night. You said it was over in this direction. Well, you know, Venus was also there that night, and that's probably what you saw. So Hynek came aboard, and initially, this was in the late 40s, initially was a debunker. He was convinced that these were crackpots, visionaries, people who were seeing things or had too much to drink.
This is a guy who remembers the Roswell days.
Yes. 1947, the Roswell crash, of course. And that's after that, we really began to heat up with UFO sightings across the country.
Hynek was a consultant for Project Blue Book, the Air Force office created in the early 50s to investigate the rash of reports that poured in across America after 1947. That was the year, as the legend goes, when an alien spacecraft crashed outside Roswell, New Mexico. The rumor circulated for decades that the Air Force actually had recovered the remains of an alien life form. Roswell is the holy grail of ufology. J. Allen Hynek concluded that the people of Dexter had not seen a UFO. Rather, he said, it had been swamp gas, the natural byproduct of decomposing vegetation and wetlands. Hynek said under the right atmospheric conditions, the air around marshy lakes that dot the Dexter area can give off a luminescent glow. Hynek's swamp gas theory did little to justify the plight of Frank Manor and his family, who had become an overnight spectacle and a target of violence.
The family had a really rough time after this. The Manors had cars lined up every night for a few weeks after on both sides of the road, and people tromping around. Frank Manor had his windshield broken by somebody throwing a beer bottle.
Look at my windshield. What would you think if somebody was throwing beer bottles at your house, standing out in the middle of the road screaming, you nut, you fanatic, and all that? What would you think?
Are you sorry now that you did tell people what you saw?
Yes, I am. I'm sorry, because it's not the truth, but it's just the idea, the reaction of the people. They think you're a nut, tell you the truth. That's just what they figure you are. And I'm not going to take it no more. I don't want nobody down in here. I just leave me alone. And if the thing lands right there by that pump, I'd never say a word. And he got out and talked to me. I wouldn't tell nobody. That's just the way I feel. I'm bitter and disgusted in the whole matter. And if people's going to act like that, I hope one lands right in Ann Arbor, right in the middle of Detroit.
The 60s marched on. The Great Michigan UFO incident began to fade from memory as America focused on its own legitimate space program. Dexter never achieved the folkloric status of Roswell, but it was the beginning of the end of the military's foray into the UFO business. Again, historian Will Matthews.
The time was ripe. The Air Force had already given out some ridiculous explanations in the years leading up to what happened in Michigan, and it was the straw that broke the camel's back.
By December 1969, not 6 months after Neil and Buzz became the first humans ever to set foot on another celestial body, Project Blue Book folded. But J. Allen Hynek was preparing for his encore, and Harry Wilness was paying attention.
And I wrote him a letter after seeing him on the Dick Cavett Show, telling how he was going to start this new organization. And I said, I've been interested in UFOs, and I think they were looking for educated people at that time, and I had just gotten my doctorate. So there I was. Suddenly I was working with Hynek and the Center for UFO Studies.
Did you yourself go to any of these sites to try to see any physical evidence of anything, whether it was here in Michigan or anywhere else in the country?
Yes. I worked on several cases like that, one out by Grand Rapids that did involve a landing site, crafts, more than one. It was off the road. The gentleman lived in a trailer and was laying on his Davenport looking out the front window. There was a lake across the street, saw some strange lights, got up, began to watch a little bit more, and this object, whatever it was, came around to the side of his trailer, perhaps about 500 yards out, and there it stayed for some time, for some hours. I asked this gentleman, did you think about going out there? He said, oh, I thought about it, but something told me not to. And the next day, he had two vehicles. Both of them would not start. His truck would always start. And when I got there 3 or 4 days after, he still had the truck on the charger. He could not get this thing to fire up.
Wilness says Hynek started off as a skeptic who changed his mind in time. It was him who invented the term close encounters of the third kind. If you watch closely, Hynek even makes a cameo at the end of that landmark 1977 film that bears the title. But what about Harry Wilness?
So let's get right down to it then. Are you a believer?
I'm absolutely a believer. What I really enjoy is, and this has happened several times in my life, people who just laugh at me. They're just so, what is wrong with you? And then guess what? They have their own sighting. They have their own close encounter. And oh my God, I've seen the eyes become like saucers. You won't believe what I saw, Dr. Wilness. I didn't believe it. Now I do.
Harry Wilness also believes we Earthlings continue to be visited by UFOs daily at some place around the world. And he's hoping for one final sighting in his lifetime. Not of a spaceship, but of that metaphorical Pandora's box of UFO files that he says the United States government has been hiding from its citizens for years. For Current State, I'm Kevin Lavery.